It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open to the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, as we are here, what's today's date? Tuesday. September 24th, I got through my Sunday Monday. It's now official. From Sunday morning till Monday when I leave the win, the maximum amount of sleep I could get is 5 hours. I talked to the wife about it. I'm not going to get home and go to bed at 7. Or I got to wind down. I'm in the car. I drive home. So I get about 5 hours sleep from the parking lot in Oakland until my Sunday night show ends at 11, till I'm in the chair with Rich Gannon at 8 a.m., with Eric Allen to finish in the show at Wynn at 7 at night and driving home at about 7:30. So from here on out, Bobby, Sunday morning to Monday night, 5 hours sleep if I can get it. That's why I'm having a cold soft drink here, a little coffee this morning. And I'm kind of used to it, man. It's football season. I'm very lucky to have these platforms, all these jobs, the new YouTube feed, which is we're almost at 5,000 subscribers, man. That's pretty cool. I'm not even counting right now. My son told me, good numbers, Dad. Numbers are up. We're doing good there. People can see the show. Tomorrow, we're live from Raiders headquarters. I'll interview the head coach after the business decision comments. And then we'll do the show for the first hour on the Raiders YouTube stream. And that'll be live with Lincoln Kennedy, Antonio Pierce, Levi Edwards, and whoever we get. Today we got a big show because I love delivering big, big shows in Las Vegas because we got big shows. We talk about what matters, a professional football team. Nothing against anything else. Everything else is important. The Golden Knights we're partners with. I'm not a big Mountain West guy. Never been a big Mountain West guy, but I like the Rebels. Like them more in the Pac-12. Would love them in the Big 12, whatever. And we love the Aces because of our friendship with Mark Davis and going for the three-peat and Asia being the MVP. But I focused for this first hour of the show on the Raiders. Paul Gutierrez, Raiders insider, in 5 minutes. He'll join us at 10 after. The voice of the Cleveland Browns, Andrew Siciliano, my longtime friend. He's going to jump on the show. And then we're going to get one of the PFF guys. Dalton Wagner's going to come on a little bit later on in the show. And we're going to talk to him and get into him. Excuse me, Dalton Wasserman, who's pretty good. He's going to come on as PFF wants to do that, and we'll have that lined up. So I've got a big show. Tomorrow they're supposed to get me an alumni. I don't know who it's going to be. I could get Phil Villapiano. Oh, and this weekend's Fred Biletnikoff and Angela's Crab Fest. So I'll be there for that, and it's great because they don't ask me to work. I MC most of all of their events. This year they have Sibley doing it, who's fantastic, and Marcus S. Allen, an entertainer, and Michael Shapiro, my great friend from Reckless in Vegas, is going to be performing. This guy's unbelievable. He takes all the Rat Pack classics, Sinatra, Sammy Davis, Dean Martin, and he turns it into rock and roll. If you want to go to the Biletnikoff Crab Fest, you got to buy tickets. It's at the Westgate. It's kind of a combination of Raider royalty and Raider prom. We raise money for the benefit of the late Tracy Biletnikoff, who was tragically murdered over a decade ago and helped build additional Tracy's places of hope. It's really good to be a part of something that great. Also that night, I will have to be at the Stratosphere early as I'll be the MC for the ALS event that I've been able to do in the past, and I have to make a brief appearance there because I got to be at the Biletnikoff event. So that's Friday night. The Eagles are in town at Sphere. The Raiders are hosting the Browns. And that's the focus of my very quick monologue. Can't believe I'm going to do it. Don't want to do it. Made some phone calls today, and I decided to do it. It is not on brand for me to say this. It is not on brand. This is an absolute must-win game for the Las Vegas Raiders, period. They put themselves in this scenario. They will get themselves out of this scenario. This is an absolute must-win game because of what happened with Andy Dalton and what was considered the worst team in the league. Fact, not fiction. The stats proved it. And the record coming into Allegiant Stadium, hammering the Raiders, and now the Raiders are in a must-win situation. Now, would you like the good news first? I'll give you the good news. The good news is the league is a mess. The Jaguars haven't won a game. The Cincinnati Bengals haven't won a game. They'd love to be the Raiders at 1-2 going for 2-2. They would trade in a minute. Okay, so that's part of the good news. I don't root for injuries. The Raiders have a lot of injuries. Epps is gone for the year in Kuntz. Oh, no. Both of them. Yeah, they're gone. Okay, so they're gone. So you look at that, and we'll wait for the official documentation from the Raiders, but if you look at Schefter, Pelissero, you know where I'm going. So the Cleveland Browns are more injured than the Raiders. The Cleveland Browns come in a train wreck. Or, you know those dumpster fire memes where there's a dumpster fire going down Polaris? That's the Cleveland Browns, but I can't go there because Carolina whooped up on the Raiders so badly that the NFL didn't even bring it up. They don't care about Carolina. They don't care about the Raiders. So, the Cleveland Browns are coming in with their offensive line decimated. They gave up 8 sacks to the New York Giants. New York Giants got a pretty good defensive line, but they don't have Christian Wilkins and they don't have Max Crosby. So the Raiders are going to go up against a team that is hurting and desperate for a win. Deshaun Watson, I thought, was a top 5 quarterback in the league before his shenanigans in Houston. He was. I mean, you think this Jaden Daniels kid is good? Deshaun Watson is unbelievable, but now he's officially a head case. So I don't think the Raiders can sustain losing to Andy Dalton and making Deshaun Watson have a good game at Allegiant Stadium back-to-back. So the way I look at it, and I told someone today in the building, I don't want to go there, but you know why I'm saying it's a must-win? Because not the coaches. Coaches coach. If they don't win, they're not here. They don't win, it's everywhere. If you don't win, you're not here. So the coaches are always under that pressure. The players are not. Players are not. The players are getting paid a lot of money, a tremendous amount of money to play football, and they could get traded, they could get cut. God forbid, hope they don't get injured. But if they win or lose, they're still going to be in the league most likely. So I believe it's a good time for these players, for the Las Vegas Raiders, to play under enormous pressure that they have to win the game. That's my belief. It might not be the coach's belief. It might not be the belief of a lot of people there. I'm running the talk show, and I just think that the Raiders have to be forced up against the wall. They have to be put up against the wall, and they have to be told, every single one, including the practice squad players, you have to win this game, because if you're 1-3, we don't see a much of a path other than a miracle. How great would 2-2 be? Can you imagine? If I go back to June, July, and August, and if I put up a poll question and asked every Raider fan, the millions of them, would you take 2-2? I'd say over 85% of the Raider Nation would take 2-2. Now, there's going to be some Raider fans that say, no, I want 4-0, and I want to be 3-1. They're bleeping delusional, those Raider fans. They were delusional to think that. But 2-2 is a reality. And if they get to 2-2... that will get the radio show to November 1st. Because 2-2 could be 3-3, 3-4, 4-3. But if the Raiders don't get to 2-2, I can't give you a scenario of 4-3, 5-4, 7-5. I can't do it. I can hope for it, but I can't do it. So 2-2 for me is an absolute must-win. The only must-win that would be more would be an elimination game that would eliminate them from the playoffs later in the year. So I just put all my chips in. Still got to show up and do my coach's interview, everything I do in the building. They got to win this game as I bring in the great Paul Gutierrez from ESPN. And Paul, after losing to Carolina, I think the Raiders need to have a big week of practice and they need to play under the pressure and feel like it's almost a must-win game, because I don't see any other path for them if they don't win this game. How do you see it?
Yeah, I see. If they show up the same way they did against Carolina after having a good week of practice, allegedly, and then showing up and not really showing up for the game, maybe they get relegated and the Pac-12 finally has another team in the Raiders with all the conference reassignments going on. No, they need to show up. It's odd that in week three you're already having a wake-up call, but here we are. And I don't know if they read their clips. I don't know if they took this whole we got no respect in Baltimore. I don't know what it is, but the NFL, every game is a season into itself, and in every game you can find three or four or five plays where if any one of those go the other way, the result is the exact opposite. The exception was this past weekend, because from that opening drive, I tweeted out right away, this just had weird Jeff Saturday game vibes coming off of it. Why that happened, only Antonio Pierce and the players know, but it's definitely something that's out there, and they're looking at the tape, and they're going to try to fix it going forward.
Paul Gutierrez joins us. You've been doing this a long time. So for you not to see it coming, and no one really sees it coming, but to watch the game, you're one of the first in the locker room. You're asking questions to the head coach. You get the business decision comment. So we're talking about a 24 to 48 hour period as long as you've been doing this. Where do you rate that all time? Because this was kind of unique. I'm not saying it's weird, it's bizarre. It is whatever it is. But strange circumstances by the time Carolina landed in Vegas until they got on the team charter to go home.
Yeah, from the Raider perspective, I mean, I've been covering the Raiders. My first year was 2005, so with a couple of years in the middle there where I went over to the other side of the bay into the 49ers. But yeah, this is basically year 20 in the NFL. And every time I think I've seen something strange with the Raiders, something more weird comes along, whether it was the Jeff Saturday game, the Baker Mayfield game, Tyson Badgen last year in Chicago. The thing that made this one different was that all of those games were close, so to speak, and they ended up losing. This one, they got blown out from the opening whistle. So that's what makes this one, I don't know if embarrassing is the right word, or one that they just really needed to kind of shock themselves back into place. And what's disappointing, I think, from the Raider perspective is going into that game, you heard every single player to a man, to the coaching staff, to Antonio Pierce himself, talking about we need to stop riding this roller coasters of highs and lows and just be even keel throughout. This, again, was one of those dips that kind of makes your stomach kind of fall out. So, again, how do they respond? It's anybody's guess, but that's what makes it, the NFL so fun to cover and to be around. If you're a fan of the team, it's a warning sign, but at least it's early enough in the season where they can try to course correct.
Paul Gutierrez joins us every other week, every 2 weeks in this time slot. We appreciate the work he does at ESPN. So what were you sensing anything about Pierce's comments about the business decision? I'll interview him tomorrow, and we'll mention it, but he gave the answer already. By the time I sit down with him, he gives the answer to you on Monday, or he does it. And then basically they're not going to name any names, but they had a big team meeting yesterday. They had a coaches meeting yesterday. It seems like they're trying to clear the air out so the team can get back to padded practices, play a little bit harder, and get going. So are we going to get a resolution to who he was talking about, or everybody's just going to move on from that?
If we do, they're not going to announce it. Mm-hmm. We'll see it in the lineups. We'll see it in some of the roster.
Correct.
Moves. We'll see it in who's starting and who's benched. That's where we're going to see it. And all the internet sleuths can figure it out if they want and watch some game tape. I'm not going to drop any names, but it's obvious who's been taking to the social medium formerly known as Twitter to kind of clear their own name this morning. So, yeah, it's one of those things where there's that cooling off period, and then you just kind of regroup and go forward. What I thought was interesting was when Antonio was asked about it yesterday in his Monday presser, which, by the way, was delayed over an hour because he was still in intense meetings with the coaches trying to figure this thing out. He said, he was asked if he still felt good about calling players out by saying that about the business decisions. And his quick answer was, I don't bite my tongue. So players need to know that. Players do know that, and they'll understand that going forward, that maybe the next step is calling guys out by names. The week before, he had no issue calling out, so to speak, Colton Miller at left tackle in terms of, hey, you need to get back into shape. You miss all of training camp with the injury, la, la, la. So, yeah, he's a guy that's not going to hold back when he sees fit.
Paul, as we wrap it up, I've been very concerned with the injury report for weeks now. When I saw Diablo on it, I figured – Diablo, a lot of times, if he can't go, he just doesn't go. He's one of those guys. I never talk about players when they're injured. If they're injured, they're on the injury report, they can't play, they got to get healthy. But with Epps and Kuntz, and we know Max isn't 100%, and you know in the roster as good as you know, is there anybody else dinged up that you're concerned about? Because Cleveland comes in far more injured. The Raider offensive line isn't very good, but they're healthier than Cleveland, and Deshaun Watson's been a mess. Been a mess mentally coming in here. So how concerned should Raider fans be with this roster, with the players who are nowhere near 100%?
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. We'll know more when the official injury report comes out tomorrow, but there's a reason that Jackson Power Johnson went to right guard rather than left guard, which is where we saw him throughout the offseason and training camp. Dylan Parham's dealing with a foot of some sort. Injury down there. So that's something to keep an eye on, especially with the offensive line having its issues trying to adapt to this zone blocking scheme. I'm actually, JD, flashing back to when Dennis Allen came in 2012. Not good memories for a lot of Raider fans, but they were so successful the year before with Darren McFadden mm-hmm. playing at kind of an MVP-type level, and then they changed the scheme and his productivity fell off. So you're kind of seeing those growing pains happen there as well. And then Max Crosby, again, was nowhere near close to 100%.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, as Antonio Pierce said, you know, at 80%, Max is still better than most defensive ends in the league. But I don't even know if he was at 80%.
Mm-hmm. Where should UNLV end up? What would be perfect for UNLV alumni like yourself, knowing television packages, travel, the ability to win long-term in what conference?
Yeah, the shiny thing in the room is the Pac-12,
yes.
Right? I mean, and yet they would be the only one in there without state attached to the end of their name. Mm-hmm. They changed it to Southern Nevada State, Las Vegas State or something.
Yes.
But it just seems to make sense to have the bigger name, going forward. And yet it all kind of depends upon what the other schools do in the Mountain West, because if Utah State is gone, which it sounds like mm-hmm. it is, UNLV is gone, Air Force is gone, then the conference itself, the Mountain West, ceases to exist. So then that makes sense to go that way. So in a weird way, you know, 24 hours ago, you're sitting there as an alum thinking, well, what is UNLV waiting for? What are they doing? Now it seems like literally Las Vegas holds all the cards, and I don't mean that ironically. I mean that literally.
Thank you, Paul. See you this week.
Take care.
All right, Paul Gutierrez from ESPN. So back to the monologue here. I'll take this for a little bit until people decide to call in and have an opinion on my two-hour talk show. I've got to remind everybody every day we're live. Because we're in an era now, Bobby, where no one's live. There's eight guys talking on a show. You don't even feel like you can have an opinion because the guys are just talking about, you know, cheeseburgers and movies and Wi-Fi. We're here to talk Raiders and sports because I'm not talking Raiders when at 1-3, 2 hours a day. I'm going to be talking about the other teams in the league that are going to the playoffs. I'll be here, and the Raiders are my focus, my intensity every day. You know it. I just said it. But this, to me, feels like normally I don't start the preview of the team until Wednesday. Tomorrow we're inside the building. As Bobby told me, I'm a little bit more buttoned up when I'm in the building. I'm not as loose as I am when I'm not in the building. You know, you got bosses and people. I have bosses here, too. But, you know, we're a little bit looser here when we're on this channel and YouTube feed. But I will tell you that it feels like a must-win game because the Raiders they're not good enough. I mean, they can dig out of a 1-3 hole. The Jaguars and the Bengals are 0-3. The Niners are 1-2, right? The whole league is a mess. A mess. And I don't recall it like this. And the way a guy told me, the best way at least hit me correctly was, if you look at the Circa Survivor pool that just got slaughtered and wiped out, right? So the first week, Cincinnati lost to the Patriots. Second week, the Ravens lost to the Raiders. Then we're seeing all these other teams, even people pick the Raiders. A lot of people pick them to beat Carolina. The Raiders lost. So you're seeing the top four teams every week lose, and it's just taking that Circa Survivor contest that had, 14,200 people down to, 600 or whatever it is. So everybody's gone. Everybody's gone in the biggest Survivor gambling contest, and in their other contest, the Circa Millions, professional gamblers who claim to be pros and walk around with their walking bets and they do their makeup perfect and they, you know, trim their mustaches perfectly and everybody's trying to give you picks. They're all wrong. So if all the gamblers who claim to be sharp are wrong, all of them, doesn't it lead you to believe that the league is a mess? No one can even predict the games. So if we can get the Raiders to 2-2 at home, 2-2 feels like, and don't quote me on it, but you can. I guess because I'm about to say it, 2-2 is going to feel a lot like 5-3. It's really going to feel great because the whole other league is behind you. But you got to get to 2-2 at home. You can't lose to Carolina and Cleveland. Now, one other caveat. When the season started, I didn't have the Raiders beating Cleveland in this game. You know, I didn't put up every game, but when I was going through check, X, check, check, I didn't have them winning this game because I thought Cleveland was going to be really, really good. Deshaun Watson was going to be much better. And I had no idea they'd have these injuries. So I can tell you this much. We are getting Cleveland at the perfect time and can't screw it up. Because you just screwed up Carolina. But Carolina was pretty good. You know what held back Carolina was Bryce Young. Andy Dalton came in and threw darts. There is no chance in hell that the Raiders can make Deshaun Watson look good. I can't imagine the blowback there will be to this team if Deshaun Watson comes in and plays his best game as a Cleveland Brown. And guess what? Andy Dalton just did in Carolina. So that can't happen again. So from a gambling perspective and just an overall vibe for this game at Allegiant Stadium, here's what I suggest is going to happen. Last week, Eric Allen and I got to the torch. And it was one of the most unique atmospheres we've had in our 5 years of doing the show from there. Everybody was happy. Everybody came home. It's like they left their summer house and went back to their house. And everything was clean and perfect. The refrigerator was full. The beer was flowing. Everybody was so nice. Selfies, Eric Allen autographs, my friends, my family, wife, kids are there. I'm like, oh, they go, JT, do us a favor. First time ever, you and Eric go on the field in the end zone and get the crowd going. I'm like, are you kidding me? I got that. And I go, Brock Bowers, I'm here for the Bowers party. Everybody's blowing up my phone, showing me video of me on the jumbo boards. I'm like, this is cool. This is really cool. And I come out of the tunnel, and I go to my seats, and my wife's there, my buddies are there. And we're like, this is going to be unbelievable. I mean, the weather's great. You can see back at the city. We are going to destroy Carolina and go to 2-1. Carolina got the ball, went down the field, game, set, and match. The Raiders were finished on the first drive of the game. They didn't answer the bell defensively. They came out offensively with nothing, no energy, no intensity. And I said, wow. They're getting beat for 30 yards on slants? Not on bombs. 30 yards on three-yard slants. No one's fast. No one's tackling. No one's upset. Body language behind the bench sucked. I sit behind the bench. Body language was pretty lame. Carolina body language hugs. Did you see last night Dan Quinn, the head coach, because we got a coach, and Antonio Pierce, who's an emotional guy, which I love. I like the emotional guys. I always do. I like the managers who kick the water cooler, take the baseball bat to the desk. That's me. I grew up with that. Billy Martin. If you don't know who Billy Martin is, Billy Martin was the manager of the Yankees, also the A's and other teams. But Billy Martin wore his emotions on his sleeve, and I grew up with that. George Steinbrenner and Billy Martin. That's what made me who I am. I like energy. Energy. We had none in our home opener. So that's over. That will never happen again. These fans aren't going to take it. So I don't think you're going to be walking through the concourse seeing a lot of smiling faces. You're not going to be seeing a lot of selfies. I think fans are going to get to their seat and go, we were here last week and you had nothing. What do you got for us this week? What are you going to do? You're going to take the kickoff instead of defer? Are you going to open up four wide and throw a bomb? What are you going to do? Because you didn't do anything last week. And that's the hope that the Raider Nation has. To get to 2-2, we, the season ticket holders, get to 2-2. Holy cow, would that be great. Now, the greatness of the Raiders is in its future. And I always have to be careful. Because Fred Biletnikoff, Phil Villapiano, Marcus Allen listen to the show. And they're friends. And they'll correct me. They'll call me and tell me. They'll correct me. And if I start walking around here like 2-2 is cool, when I see guys like Jim Plunkett and Fred Biletnikoff and those and Villapiano, they've won Super Bowls, they're going to look at me and go, hey, man, you think 2-2 is good? Where the hell have you been? You've been around our alumni. You've been to our events. No, don't miss my point. 2-2 is great. not good if we can get to 2-2. Get to 2-2, we'll call timeout, we'll press pause, we'll put everybody in the tub, get them their ice bath, we'll get them all fired up and ready to go. And then we look at the schedule, we got the Jaguars on the schedule. Bobby, we got the Bengals on the schedule. Those teams stink. Got Denver on the schedule twice. Can you imagine if we can get to 2-2 with two games against Denver, one against the Chargers with high ankle sprain quarterback, then you get Cincinnati, Jacksonville. I mean, New Orleans is tough. We play Miami. Miami could be in the worst situation of any team in football, period, with Tua being out to week 8. I mean, I can navigate through this schedule, man. You know me. I can get us through this schedule if we can get to 2-2. But, man, I must be running out of stuff, man. If I'm really, does it sound like I'm begging for 2-2? I feel like I am. I really feel like I'm sitting here on the verge. You know, I always know where the ledge is, on the verge of being optimistic and enthusiastic to almost begging for a win here. But this win's really important for me, for you, and for anybody else listening who's not a Raider fan. You know, worry about your team. And I'm going to talk about your team because we got a couple of good guests coming up. The Monologue brought to you by PT's. They do an unbelievable job. They got a brand new opening. Great American Pub right off of Buffalo and the 215. Great new sports bar. I've been there a few times. Everybody on that staff is great. They put a lot of money into it, and I think you'll like it a lot. That's a brand new, really brand new. Everything's new, authentic. It's fantastic. Great American Pub right off the 215 at Durango, and it's a fantastic property. Orlando in Connecticut will start us off on the Raiders mobile app. Go ahead.
JT, what's up, my brother? Hope all is well. Yeah. Couple of things for you. I'm with you. 2-2 would be a home run. Mm-hmm. I'm not a delusional fan. I did not think we were going to be that great out of the gate for the first four. I thought we'd get the Carolina win and lose to the other two teams. Mm-hmm. With that going forward, you know I'm not a Diablo fan. It was good to see Mattresson out there to get a little eval on him. As far as Minshew's concerned, hard to evaluate him, JT. Mm-hmm. Hard to evaluate.
No, let me stop you. No, let me stop you. Gardner Minshew is not playing well. He's played 12 quarters. He had one good quarter. I want him to be great. I know he's been good in this league. He's a winner. He can make every throw. Gardner Minshew is not playing well. He should be on the verge of starting his last game, his last chance to keep his job or get benched. And we're going to find that out. He is not playing well.
Well, I'll agree with you on that. But he does not have time to throw. So as far as the 11 quarters, I get that. I've watched every game. I'm with you on that. But the offensive line is struggling right now. And I would like to see them get a little stronger. Anyone take a peek at that Carolina offensive line? Two all-pro guards.
Yep.
Knocking the snot out of some Raiders all day, JT. We just got to get back to some toughness. And, all right, Minshew's got a short rope right now. I'm with that. But, hey, 2-2, if we're 1-3, man, there is going to be some fans jumping, and they're going to be jumping from high places, brother. I'm still on board. I know the schedule's a little soft. We can go on a nice little run, but they got to get back to playing some Raider football and being some tough guys on the field.
Yeah.
I'll let you go, brother.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Look, this comes down to the fact that they have no choice. They have to play better. They have to be called out. The coach called them out. Who cares what I think? I'm just a bloviating, fast-paced sports talk host. The coach called out the players. I love it. I'm good with that. Pat McAfee didn't like it. He played in the league. I didn't. Some of the guys don't like it. I love it. I'm a content provider. I like when the coach has something to say that could influence the audience that I host shows for. So I'm good with that. If Antonio Pierce wants to be highly emotional and celebrate with the alumni in the locker room, like Eric Allen said, you have to take the other side of that. You can't have one side of it. It's got to be both. And the other side of it is every once in a while, he's going to pop off. And I'm good with that. That's the Monologue. Brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. Modelo is all over town. They're the number one beer in America. Number one. It tastes unbelievable. It's the fighting spirit. They do a lot in the community. Steve Gomez and his entire team. I'm thrilled that I represent Modelo. Have my bucket of Modelo on Friday. I think last Friday, a little bit more than a bucket with my buddies in town. But we got a clean week this week, and we're rolling. Got to beat the Browns.
obviously a lot was made of that comment, you know, national media-wise this morning. I guess as you think about it, are you happy that you pointed it out?
I don't bite my tongue.
I don't bite my tongue. Yep, I don't bite my tongue. So Coach Pierce, I wouldn't say he's doubling down. He was asked about the comments. It was a business decision. And he made an emotional comment at a press conference following the game. That's why there's a 15-minute cooling-off period. The players and the coaches get to relax after a game, cool off after a loss, mostly a loss. If you win, you're pretty good. And then you go talk to the media, and you can give the media what you want or not. What would Belichick say? Now, Belichick wouldn't say that, but other guys would. Motivational guys, Jimmy Johnson, motivational guys are going to tell you what they think. And I'm cool with that with Antonio Pierce. Man, because I'm sitting in this seat, and I remember how much you complained about the former coach. I remember how much you complained about the coach before the former coach. I remember all the hypocrisy of the trolls on social media who go back and forth, head cases, and can't handle anything. Can't handle winning, can't handle losing, don't like the coaches, the offensive coordinators, blah, blah, blah. So I got to bring some level of consistency here and say, all right. And if I didn't believe what Antonio Pierce said, I would have got on the radio and said, in a respectful manner, you know, he went a little bit too far. You know, keep that in-house. That's what Pat McAfee said, keep it in-house. I disagree. For this coach, I think this coach is an emotional guy who played the game and won a Super Bowl, which the majority of that locker room hasn't done. So he's able to give you what he believes is the right way to get out and win. I want to thank the 872 laborers led by Tommy White and his great team. Saw Tommy in his suite and some of the people that work with him. Fantastic partnership here as they build this city on time and on budget. A little bit later on in the show, Larry Beal, who is a sportscaster in the Bay Area, went off on John Fisher, the owner of the A's. I've talked about this with the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, privately and publicly. We are not the flagship of the A's. I'm not going to give the A's any propaganda, any respect, any support on this show unless the owner sells the team to a new owner, and then it'll be unbelievable. Then I'd be like, okay, look, the A's are coming here. I love baseball. I'm a Yankee fan. Let's go. But this owner is ridiculous. And Larry Beal, a sportscaster in the Bay, went off on him. I'll play that soundbite here in a little bit. Justin in Sacramento, where reportedly the A's are going next. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going, JT? I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I'm a young fan, 27.
Great.
I came to Vegas this weekend, took my girl. Mm-hmm. We met Plunkett. I saw you and Eric Allen at the Torch. The atmosphere was amazing.
Yeah, it was nice.
I loved it. Once we got the game was rolling, it was just, well, it was hard watching the other fans starting to boo, because as a young fan, I never seen that, never been around other Raider fans actually booing. I'm trying to lift people up, but, you know, a lot of emotions, like you said. I love the emotions from the coach, and, you know, it's just hard when you travel all that way and invest all that money, and then you just, the outcome is like that, because after being so high from the week before, and then you just, they just have a unique way of playing up to talent and playing down to talent. But that's all I got for you.
Hey, man, good meeting you. Good seeing you. Appreciate you doing that. Thanks a lot for coming up to the Torch and saying hi to Eric and I. We always appreciate when we get a chance to see people and talk to people there. It was a tough atmosphere to be in. I don't support anybody booing the home team. I've never done it in my life. I never will. I've been aggravated. I've been known to yell and scream and, you know, bang the chair that I'm sitting in, but I don't think booing encourages the team to play better, but I don't pay for your ticket, you don't pay for mine. That's some of the things that, I wouldn't call it maturity with me, but I'm done. I'm checked out. I'm checked out on how certain people behave, who flies in for our games, who sells our tickets or not. I can't control it. I can just do my part. And for the fans that are great Raider fans who stick with the team all the time, I really appreciate that. You know, I really appreciate that and what the fans do, because it's not easy being a fan. And this year it's really different because the rest of the league is almost worse off than the Raiders. And I have I'm aware of that. I know what the other teams are going through. There's a video that's trending now of Trevor Lawrence the quarterback of Jacksonville, where he spun away from no one. So the pocket was collapsing, and he just did a 360 spin, and there was no one in front of him. So they think he's broken. I nailed it with Cincinnati. Cincinnati was so loud in the offseason. T. Higgins wants a contract. He doesn't want to be franchise tagged. Ja'Marr Chase wants one more dollar, so he didn't go to any practices, just stood there and wouldn't play because he wanted a new deal. Joe Burrow went to Paris to a fashion show and dyed his hair blonde. Sorry, Dan Marino didn't do that. Joe Montana didn't do that. You know, my partner on podcast, Tom Looney, says, stop criticizing what people who have more hair than me are doing with their hair. He's kind of right. It's an inside joke. But, you know, Joe Burrow's dyeing his hair whistle-tip blonde. He's playing quarterback. Again, I can tell you that Bart Starr, Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, and Joe Montana didn't do that. And you can come back and say, he can do whatever he wants with his hair. Yeah, you're probably right. It looks stupid. Doesn't look very football. I'm focused on football, going to Paris to a fashion show when you're coming off an injury every year. They look like a mess. God, Buffalo looked good last night. Woo! Buffalo looked really good last night. Raider D in the O. Wow, this is Raider royalty. What's up, D?
Hey, what's up, Brick, man? Nothing, just hanging in. You know me, I'm not one of those panic fans.
No, you're not.
But it was disappointing on both sides of the ball up front. You know, what we saw at the end of last year and we thought we would have going in now is guys making plays in the offensive backfield. We saw more of that. We saw guys jumping routes, you know, looking like they know what they're doing, but basically the defense being aggressive and them dictating it and not being dictated to. So I'm knowing that Antonio Pierce has all my faith that that will be corrected. Mm-hmm. That will be corrected. On the other side of the ball, I think it's a thing where we have to be patient with them to find the right guys that have that old Raider football nasty attitude, that Highway 63, you know, Otto, Upshaw, and Shell, you know, guys that's going to pave the way for that running game. So there's no panic there. We got skilled guys, and we just have to be patient with this. The NFL is a long season. The camp is a short camp, short season. Preseason is short. So these guys should be getting this worked out. I'm looking at this next game or the next game before after that, JT. But, man, it's good hearing from you, JT. I can't wait to get that way and hang out.
Yeah.
And
get down here. We got a good setup out here for you when you get into town. We know you know how to roll in Oakland and in Vegas, but look forward to seeing you. It's been too long.
Hey, for sure, JT. You know I'm coming.
You got it, Raider D in the O. The guy who gave me my first hardcore tour of Oakland. I'm talking hardcore through the killing fields, through some of the neighborhoods, and gave me my tour. So he said, you know, you're going to be on the radio here in Oakland. You got to see Oakland. I said, what, Lake Merritt? No, you got to see Oakland. And I saw Oakland back in the day, in the mid-90s, late 90s. And look, I'm upset what's going on with Oakland, man. It really is. It's brought so much joy to my life going up to Oakland and visiting it all the time. And now to see what happened to sports, it's just unfortunate, man. The weather's great. There should be so much infrastructure, so much growth in buildings and new freeways and highways and stadiums and casinos, if you could do it, and high rises and all that. And to see what's happening now with sports, it's really disturbing. And it's just the opposite here. Everybody wants to come here because they're treated by business at such a high level. We love Tito's Handmade Vodka. Shane came to our remote that we did at Whiskey, which was really nice. And we had a couple of Tito's, and he left me with some Tito's gear, which I will wear, which I love because they're a proud partner of our show. Tito's Handmade Vodka, my go-to vodka, and a proud partner of Raider Nation Radio. Andrew Siciliano this week. We got great guests lined up today.
Allen under center, Cook the lone setback. Here's the snap. Takes the handoff to Cook. Pressure coming. Fires down the right side, looking for Coleman. He's got it, and he's into the end zone. The rookie with his first touchdown as a pro.
Bills Radio, they look really good last night. JT, back with you. We're brought to you by Alex and Orlando de Castaverde. The brothers win. The brothers have your back. Alex is a season ticket holder. He's at all the games. If you get into an accident or injured, the number is 702-222-9999. There's a lot of attorneys that say a lot of things. These guys are based the right way, La Familia, their family first, based off the legacy of their dad who moved from Cuba to come here and start the law firm and built this successful firm with a great staff, great attorneys, great people behind the scenes. We really appreciate the partnership of the DeCastaverde Law Group. Very quickly, Deshaun Watson's last game, 21 of 37, 196, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Now, that doesn't look bad, right? Almost threw for 200 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked eight times. Eight times. So that's it. Deshaun Watson was sacked through the interior. Who do we have in the interior? Christian Wilkins. Cleveland lost three offensive linemen who left the game and didn't come back. The voice of the Browns, Andrew Siciliano, later in the show. Let's get out to Al in California. Al, what's going on?
Hey, JT. Love your show, man. Thank you for all you do. Two things real quick. First, Oakland. Gonna miss it, man. You know, go back all the way to back in the Bass Brother days. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, Oakland and the whole city and just everything couldn't work out. And, mm-hmm. you know, the owners, you know, it is what it is, man. He's moving to Vegas and.
Look, every owner, the majority of owners in all sports, no matter how much money they have, they don't want to own the real estate. They don't want to buy the concrete. They don't want to pour the concrete. They don't want to build the upper deck. I wouldn't. Now, some owners can afford both. They can afford to pour the concrete. They can build it like Stan Kroenke. So wherever you are the rest of your life, I say the same thing. You're going to have to give the owners some money because they're in charge of the team. And then you got to partner with them in an honest partnership to bring sports to your city. And it's not going to be perfect, but tell me what it's like when you lose teams. That's worse than not being perfect. So hopefully Oakland comes back with sports in decades to come. I hope so.
Yeah. And then two, you know, our Raiders, man, you know, no matter what, man, you know, yes, we got embarrassed. Your stats you said about Deshaun Watson getting sacked eight times. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, those guys got hurt on their O-line, but we got to come out swinging, man. Enough of this. You know, I know our defense, you know, we got embarrassed, but just both sides of the ball. Come out swinging. Start fast, man. Maybe, you know, with the offense, a little up-tempo. Mm-hmm. I used to love when Rich Gannon would have those up-tempo, you know, no huddle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it doesn't happen
down
much.
Down their throat.
Yep, thanks. You know? Thanks, Al. Got to run. Appreciate your call. Thank you. Let's not forget Amari Cooper. Remember Amari Cooper? Very good with the Raiders. He had seven receptions for 86 yards and two touchdowns. He was targeted 12 times. Who are we going to put on him? Jack Jones? Anybody? Who are we going to put on Amari? Ja'Corian Bennett? Okay. You know who else they got? Jerry Jeudy, who was targeted seven times. So Amari Cooper was targeted 12, Jeudy 7. So that's 19 times their two best receivers were targeted. What do you think they're going to do against the Raiders? I look for those targets to be at about 25 combined. We better match that with Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers. Calvin's in Benicia, California on the mobile app. What's happening, Calvin?
Hey, how you doing, JT?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the whole Oakland fiasco with the A's and that owner. I also saw that letter he put out. I kind of laughed. I read the first paragraphs and laughed, and I didn't read the whole thing. So I just wanted to say that. My thing is, I'm calling about the Raiders. We got a veteran, experienced general manager. So let's go. The best thing he's done since he's taken over is draft Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. He has done nothing else to upgrade that football team. Okay. He's sitting on $25 million in cap space.
Well,
right,
why
now.
Do you think that is? It's fair. It's fair. Because, you know, I've been saying for 3 years before Tom got here, go buy a right tackle. Go buy a veteran right tackle. Yep. They want to develop it. But I truly believe that Tom Telesco is evaluating this roster. This is not his roster. It was his first draft class in free agency. A lot of the players were here before he got here. I think he's evaluating all them, and he's not making panic moves by just buying guys and bringing them in. But I know what you're saying. There's a couple of needs now, but there's not many players left. There's not many players left unless he makes trades.
And I felt he should have made a move earlier. Mm-hmm. We knew we were looking at saving some money for Kuntz,
mm-hmm.
but that's out the window. That freed up some money now.
Well, who do you want to get? What do you want to do? Sorry. Get you? I would have liked Yannick Ngakoue here. He went to Baltimore. I thought he would have been a nice fit. It seemed like his price was a bit expensive. Yep. That would have been nice. I would have loved, you know, some of the other cornerbacks, the veteran corners who were available in free agency. But I think he's being very prudent with the money that he has for next year, and depending on what the Raiders are going to have to do possibly to go get a quarterback and how much that's going to cost.
Well, that's what he's doing. I think he should hold a press conference and face some of the Raider Nation instead of leaving Pierce out there being emotional at the mic after a game.
All right, Calvin.
He owes it to the Raider Nation to come out and speak on what he's trying to do. If he's sitting there just still evaluating, which I don't know, he's experienced. That's why we didn't hire Champ. Champ less experienced. He's experienced. Mm-hmm. I don't think it takes this long to evaluate.
Okay.
He was there all through training camp. 3 games into the season, and the same issues we were having in preseason, we're still having today. No pass rush, except for Max, and we're giving up too many yards on the rush.
Not much of a complaint there. Appreciate it. I think Tom Telesco's a really sharp guy. He's new to the Raiders, and he's going to try to do it his way and get the best players here while saving some money, having to sign players to contracts in the future, and then have a big offseason in free agency. But I understand, we're sitting here in the month of September. You'd like to see a better roster. I don't have a problem with that phone call. I like Tom a lot. I like Dave Getsy a lot. I like Mike Mayock a lot. I like Reggie McKenzie a lot. I want these guys to do well. They get paid to build the roster, and the Raider roster needs to step up this Sunday, whoever's out there.